Blog Talk Radio. Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are so excited to have all of our listeners from all across the world wide web. We appreciate you. Listen, the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show airs every Tuesday live at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So to stay up to date on all of the phenomenal shows and wonderful interviews that we have lined up for you, visit my official website and join my email list, and I'll send you an email out each week to let you know about the upcoming shows. You can visit my official website at www.mitchell-productions.com. Again, that's www.mitchell-productions.com. Okay, so as you know, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and I'm telling you, today we have an exciting show lined up for you. So let's get this party started, because I do have my guest here in the virtual studio. Ladies and gentlemen, in the October issue of O, the Oprah magazine, editors announced that Leslie Clark was one of the five winners of the magazine's Big Give contest. The contest, announced in May 2008, asked for entrants to answer the question, if you had unlimited resources to help your community, what would you do? O readers from around the world submitted proposals. Of course, the results were ambitious and exciting and, above all, inspiring. And I'm excited to interview one of the winners, again, Leslie Clark. She hails from Memphis, Tennessee, so a big shout-out to our friends in Memphis. She is an accomplished writer, a motivational speaker, a mentor, community servant, single mom, a model, and a whole lot of other things. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the mic at this time is Miss Leslie Clark. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Thank you, Charvette. This is such a pleasure.
Oh, we are so tickled pink to have you, as my auntie in Millersville, Georgia would say. So let's jump right on in. Tell our listeners, let's start from the beginning. How did you even hear about Oprah's Big Give contest?
Well, it was really crazy, actually. And, you know, a lot of times that's how God works, totally outside of the norm. I purchased the issue of the magazine, and it was about 10:45 at night, and I was at home in the bed reading it. And I will say this, I am a hot chick nerd.
Okay.
I read everything. I'm proud of being a nerd. You know, anything you sit in front of me, I'm a read. So there was this little tiny blurb in the back of the magazine, and it said, you know, did you miss the Big Give, which I did. And it said, well, here's your chance to enter. So it's a Wednesday night, 10:45. I had until Friday midnight to have a 150-word proposal written, as well as reference letters, kind of a soft business plan for what I would do if I had unlimited resources to, you know, help my community.
Right.
And I got it to our airport, which has a 24-hour post office, that Friday night at 11:45 p.m.
Get
out of God. And then I forgot about it.
Get out of God. So what was the motivation? And then you forgot about it. What was your motivation for entering? Like, what triggered in your mind to enter?
Well, earlier this year, I made a decision that I was going to live life like no one else. I was going to live a fearless life, regardless of, you know, any little niggling fears that I had in my gut, any little voices I heard in my head. I said, no matter what, if it's something that I could do and it didn't cost me any blood, you know, I would do it.
Right.
And so, you know, I love to write. I'm a sucker for a contest or a sweepstakes.
Okay.
I always read the O magazine, and, you know, I'm a pretty big fan of hers. So when I saw it, I said, okay, why not? You know, this is what I do. I write in my sleep. So that was the impetus for me to submit the entry.
Wow, that is so amazing. And so tell us how the contest worked. So what type of proposal did you have to put together?
It had to be 150 words, and basically they just wanted to know what would you do if you had the resources.
Okay. So just essay format. Okay.
They didn't even give a format. They just said, just follow, just, you know, file, submit a proposal, and that was it. So basically we had to, you know, kind of be creative. So I stuck with a very basic proposal. I did the who, what, when, where, and why. And, you know, I kind of told them my history and what, you know, my proposal was. And like I said, I got it in the mail, and then I forgot about it. That was the key thing, I think, that I took a little leap on faith, and then I let it go. I mean, I literally threw it in the mailbox and forgot about it. So
wow.
Yeah.
And so what was your reaction when you found out that you were one of the winners, one of the recipients? How did you find out, and what was your reaction?
Well, two of the ladies called me, and they said, you know, this is Sarah Sugarman and Blythe Simmons from Oprah Magazine. And I was like, get out of here, and I hung up the phone. I thought it was a prank call. They called me at work in the middle of the day, and I thought it was a prank call because I've been saying for maybe 10 years now that, you know, I'm going to be on Oprah, I'm going to be on Oprah, I'm going to be on Oprah. And my friends would say, girl, you're so crazy. And I was like, I'm telling y'all I'm going to be on Oprah. So, you know, they hung up and called back, and she said, this is, you know, Sarah and Blythe from O Magazine. And I was like, oh, my God, I got on the phone. And next thing I know, I had like 25 people standing around my desk screaming.
Oh, my God.
And they proceeded to tell me that this was a live call.
Oh.
And, you know, there were several other people there in the room.
Uh-huh.
And so I just said, well, you know, I have to get this out of my system. And I just screamed for like 2 minutes. And I said, okay, how can I help you all today?
Right. Let me get myself together.
I know. Let me compose myself and put on my interview face.
Right.
And so we did a 10-minute interview.
Okay.
Which it was supposed to be 10 minutes. It ended up being almost 30 minutes.
Get out of here.
And they told me that I was one of the finalists. And, you know, of course, me being me, at the end of the interview, they're like, okay, well, we're done, and we'll call you. And I said, well, wait, I have questions for you all. And they kind of sat there like, no, she didn't. So, you know, I asked them my questions, and they were like, wow. And that was it. And they told me they would call me back that Friday to let me know the final results. So.
And then I certainly know you got to call that Friday, right? Now, were you on pins and needles? Did they wait till like 4:59 to call?
Actually, they called me. It was around 2:00 that Friday, and I happened to be in the bank with my high school principal. And I was sitting there with the bank manager and my high school principal, and we were just kind of shooting the breeze. And my phone rang, and I was like, "Y'all, this is O Magazine. They called to tell me I won." And she said, "Well, guess what? You won. You were one of 5 winners." And
I was blown away, Charmaine.
I was really blown away. And I'm still, the entire experience has been very surreal.
It's like, pinch me, am I dreaming?
Seriously, it really is.
So tell our listeners about your proposal, Operation Backpack. Tell us about what you propose and what you're going to be doing.
Well, with Operation Backpack, I distribute school supplies to any child regardless of their age, grade, or income. And the fact that My Big Give does not have an income component was actually one of the things that caused me to be, you know, one of the winners.
Right.
The majority of the proposals that were submitted were based on income limitations. And while I do understand that each program has to, you know, deal with financial responsibility,
right,
one of the things that really just gets my goat is the social stigmas that we place on children.
Mm.
And, you know, they asked me, well, you know, give us an example. And I told them, I said, remember when we were in school, you always knew all the kids who had free lunch. You know,
right.
Even though it was a computerized system designed by adults, you know, for some strange reason, even though all of our cards swiped the same, their cards had to be bright red or bright purple or something. You know, just those little social stigmas. And so, I submitted the proposal that, you know, I would provide school supplies. Now, there are several other groups here in Memphis that are doing it, you know, rather large right now, and I'm really excited, and I've worked with some of them. Mine is a little different, though. I actually set up on-site, which cuts down totally on theft. I know exactly how many kids are at the school. It's a private event that takes place during the course of the school day. So there's not going to be this huge media circus taking pictures of the kids and, you know, none of that.
Right.
There's a carnival atmosphere because I have someone on site that will do, like, cotton candy and pronto pups, and we'll have clowns and face painting and all that. And it's just a way to have fun with the kids for a couple of hours.
I think that is so phenomenal. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I am interviewing Miss Leslie Clark, one of the recipients and winners of Oprah's Big Give contest. And we're just tickled pink to hear about all the great things that she's doing with
you.
This. So, yes. Yeah, so tell our listeners your website address.
My web address is www.lesliegirl.com, and that's LESSLIEGIRL.com.
Great. And that
it
way
features, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh,
go
no,
ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, it features both the nonprofit, which is Operation Backpack, as well as some of the for-profit things that I do as well. So I'd love for everyone to come to the site, you know, pass the link on,
yeah,
put your comments on there, tell me what you like and you don't like, you know, send me a shout-out. I'm very accessible.
Great. I think that's awesome. And I love the site. I checked out your site earlier, and something that you had on the site really struck me, and I wanted to talk to you about it. On the site, you said you plan to demonstrate the power of how things can change when the faith-based and corporate community, along with local citizens, come together to make a life-changing impact. And I think that is so timely because I feel that there's a new spirit, a new energy in the air with this election of President-elect Barack Obama and the transition
That's
of leadership
right.
in our country. How important is it for all of us to work together to impact change? How important?
Well, I really like for people to understand that we are only as strong or as weak as each other, you know, is basically. We work together as a team. So it really has nothing to do with cultural differences, ethnic differences, you know, social differences,
right.
All of those things are things that can be used to divide or they can be used to unite us. And I'm one of those people that I kind of cross cultural lines, ethnicity lines,
uh-huh.
income and social class lines, you know, because we really do all need one another. I don't believe in lost generations. I do believe that if there is a generation that's lost behind us, it is totally our fault because they are mimicking in our footsteps.
Right,
so
modeling our behavior.
If they're lost, then we're lost. Right.
Right.
And a lot of us don't like to admit that. You know, we think a lot of times as adults we have everything all together. And the reality is if we did, we wouldn't have so many problems in the world, in the adult world.
Right.
So, you know, we really have to pay attention to opportunities to partner up with each other in the community and just respect, you know, the value systems of others, but work towards a common goal and common grounds for everyone.
All right.
You know,
well
I'm a strong,
said.
You know, advocate for that.
Well said. So tell us about your fundraising event this coming Saturday. Give us all the juicy details.
Whew, so excited.
Yeah.
I am having a cocktail party this Saturday at Bridges of Memphis, and Bridges is a wonderful organization. And unfortunately, I don't have their website in front of me, but Bridges does a lot of community partnerships with some
okay.
of the largest corporations here in our city. And they were so generous. You know, they all but volunteered the entire facility for my use.
Wow.
And so I'm having a cocktail party, and I'm calling it a really soft fundraiser, because it's soft on everyone's pocket. It's
mm-hmm.
only $10, and
wow.
80% of each ticket, or $8, goes right back to the funds for the Big Give. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, my goal is to sell 300 tickets and have, you know, 300 attendees. It's going to be from 5:30 until 8 p.m. We will be debuting one of my associates' new business. She's providing, you know, door prizes and things for us, which is, I think a lot of people are going to be shocked by what they're going to be able to receive.
All right.
We'll have a live DJ. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I like fun stuff, you know, that actually works. So I party for a purpose. That's the
a
only
party
reason
for
I
a
partiness.
Purpose.
That's
right.
Right. No more
Great.
Socializing for no purpose.
A party with a purpose.
That's
I
right.
love it.
That
I love
right.
it. And that's this coming Saturday, November 22nd, 5:30 p.m. Listeners, please go to Leslie's website, and you can get
that's
more
right.
information on that event. And I'm sure since we have listeners from all across the globe, certainly somebody could purchase a ticket. Can they purchase tickets online?
That's correct. All of the ticket okay. sales are on the website.
Okay.
They would just need to go, again, to LeslieGirl.com to purchase the tickets. In addition, if there's anyone looking to partner with me to join up as a sponsor, or if you just want information on how to do something like this in your own city, you know, again, I'm very accessible. I haven't reached the point yet where, you know, you have to call my people to call my people to get things. So.
Right.
Very
and that's
accessible.
Awesome. Well, I'm just going to say when you're sitting on Oprah's couch, just make sure you give a shout-out to the Charvette Mitchell radio show. That's
I
my
sure
small
will.
Request.
I sure will.
Well, Leslie,
I sure will.
The goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And being one of Oprah's Big Give winners, what motivates, continues to motivate you?
Wow, that's such a huge question, Charvette.
Yes,
and every time I'm asked that question, I provide a different answer. I would honestly have to say the joy in seeing someone realize that they have options.
Okay.
And they don't have to take the road that's traveled by everyone. They can actually take a different path and have success.
Outstanding. Well, we applaud you. We applaud your efforts.
Thank
we
you.
Are glad that you put in that proposal and entered the contest, and we're excited that you were one of the winners. And we just
thank
look for
you.
More great, outstanding things coming from you.
And, Charvette, I want to thank you as well. And hello to Richmond, Virginia. I've heard that's one of the most beautiful cities, not only – well, are you all Southerners? Should I say
yes,
that?
Yes, you might
only
as well.
South, but.
Right. You might as well say we're right in that middle line. So some Northern Virginia won't claim it, but Richmond, we have to claim Southerners.
Well, I've heard some wonderful things about your city. I'm sure that they are proud to have you as a resident of the city. Thank you for your work, not only to the community, but to the world at large. So thank you very much.
You are quite welcome. And, again, we applaud your efforts. And we hopefully will get an interview with you later on after we can follow up and hear about all of the great things that took place with your project. All right.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Give me a call anytime. Thank you.
I sure will.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. And I just interviewed Ms. Leslie Clark, who was one of the winners of Oprah's Big Give contest, and we're excited for her. Again, check her out online at www.lesliegirl.com. Now, turning to my second segment, I believe I have my special guest in the virtual studio. Now I'm going to check. Mr. Ford, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right. Welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Hello, Charvette, and hello to all your listeners.
Great.
How are you?
I am fabulous. So glad to have you.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
All right. Let me just refresh my listeners' memories about you. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Ford is a music consultant, award-winning record producer, internationally respected musician, lecturer, and author. Oh, my goodness. His production skills have been a contributing factor for the success of over 50 album projects for such artists as Bishop T.D. Jakes, Vicki Winans, Donnie McClurkin, and the list could go on and on and on. His album and CD productions have awarded him 2 Grammy Awards, 10 Grammy nominations, 5 Dove Awards, 10 Stellar Awards, and again, he is the author of, oh my goodness, Can I Take Your Order, and the conference host for the 2009 Music Symposium. All right, Mr. Ford, let's get this party started. Let's tell our listeners, I had the opportunity to interview you back in the summer in July. You were working with an event here, the Virginia Gospel Showcase, and you said a sound bite while we were on the air, and I was like, I made a note to myself. I said, I got to get him back on the air by himself. So you just stuck out. You said when we were on the air at that time, you said there's an issue or a problem if your gift is bigger than your character.
Yes.
And that just stuck with me, and I thought, I got to talk to him. I got to talk to him some more. So that's what triggered my request for your interview.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what? I thank you so much for your patience. I know schedules has been crazy for me, and things have been going, God has just been good. He's been good. So I apologize we couldn't catch up, you know, earlier. But
oh, no problem.
Yeah, I remember that statement, just dealing with the gift. You know, God gives the gift without repentance. You know, and many times, you know, your gift can take you where your character can't keep you.
My goodness. And what advice do you have for someone that may some people know that within themselves, some people don't recognize it, but for those that recognize, hey, I need to pull up my character because my gift is taking me places, what kind of advice do you give to them?
Well, first of all, you know, you have to humble yourself before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say it the old-fashioned way, stay out the mirror.
All right.
I mean, what I mean is that you just can't keep revisiting the fact that, you know, I can sing or I can play or I can preach. It's not I. It's the God that's in you, and that's the God who gives the gift of music, and he gives the gift of arts. And when you understand that, then you'll give glory to God, and he's the one that will receive all praises. And then you become insignificant to the fact that you say, I can do nothing without Christ. I can do nothing without God. And the truth of the matter is that if, you know, you have a gift, it really doesn't really become effective unless God pours his oil on it.
Absolutely.
And so you can sing, but you can sing without anointing. A person that sings with the anointing, they'll be able to remove burdens and destroy yokes. And you can tell the difference. You know, it's just like I think of Donnie McClurkin. You can put other tenors up beside him, but he can stand up and open his mouth, and in 2 minutes you'll say, "Oh my goodness, he's anointed." So, that's what I mean by that. And it's just working on yourself, and that's important.
Outstanding, Greg. I just want you to elaborate and share that wealth of experience and knowledge, certainly, that you can offer to those that. And I think gifting in any area, music, whether a business, creativity, any of that, I think people can take that advice and run with it.
Yeah.
All right. So tell our listeners how all of this started for you. How did you get into music and all of that?
Well, I'm a PK, you know, pastor.
Okay.
I say we are the precious kind, you know.
That's okay. I haven't heard that before.
Much prayer, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I was a pastor's child, and I started playing in the church. I started playing actually as long as I can remember. But I was my father actually made me the minister of music when I was 9 years old.
Mm.
And started playing, teaching choirs, teaching the band and all of that. Went through, you know, school and went on to college. And meanwhile, I started doing studio work.
Okay.
And from doing studio work, I actually started producing, but I didn't know that I was producing. But when I go back and really start talking about the studio work, you'd probably be a little shocked because I was playing for quartets and groups. I mean, all types of music, but I played and helped the Jackson Southerners, the Williams Brothers, I can really go back and just worked on a lot of quartet music, a lot of choir music, and constantly just, you know, kept on pushing for the production to get involved with learning the technical aspects of the business.
Okay.
Watching the engineer, reading books, studying, going to seminars, going to classes, you know, trying to get all the knowledge I could as far as production, engineering, and sound, acoustics, mixing, everything about that. And eventually it just evolved into a career. And then I started still being on the road, working with groups. Richard Smallwood heard of me and called me, and then Marvin Winans heard me and he called, and the rest is history. Then it just, you know, kind of exploded after that.
Wow. What would you say was your first, like, big break where you said, you know what, I'm really in this thing for real?
I guess possibly I got called to play at James Cleveland, the workshop.
Okay.
And I was a teenager then, and I remember I played for, I believe, someone called me from the Philadelphia chapter, and I went
okay.
and played, and when I got there, I played for one group, and then somebody else heard me, and they said, no, can you play for me? And then I actually played for James and then Reverend Cleveland. And after that, I think then the name started getting around.
Okay.
And then I think, but the biggest, probably the biggest break would probably be playing for Richard Smallwood and simultaneously playing for the Winans, because
okay.
I started with Richard Smallwood, and I remember Marvin Winans heard me at a concert or something, and he had someone find out who I was.
Wow.
And then he just called me up on stage and said, you know, I need you to sit in with us. And then the rest of that is history. You know,
wow.
Right? No, you're gonna be my musical director. He didn't really ask me.
He just said you're gonna do. Okay.
You're just gonna do it. So
wow.
Then I was actually working with both groups at the same time, and then it just, you know,
just blew up from there.
Yeah, it really did. It really did.
And so certainly with all of your accomplishments and your Grammys and your awards, and people strive for acclaim and fame and all of that, how would you describe life, you know, post-winning your awards? What's changed?
You know, from the industry standpoint, you know, things change once
mm-hmm.
you're recognized, because it is gratifying to be recognized by man, but it's more rewarding to be recognized by God. I believe that in my heart. But it hasn't changed as far as keeping my feet on the ground, because
mm-hmm.
I'm a family man, and I really love, you know, coming home to my family. As a matter of fact, if you came to my house, those awards are in a closet somewhere. We probably have to go find them.
Okay.
Well, it's because even though it's something, you know, some people strive for,
right?
To really be truthful, I didn't strive for that. The Lord just blessed, and it just happened.
Gift just made room for you, right?
It made room, yeah. But you know, my joy is being a husband to my wife and a father to my son, and looking after my dog.
That is awesome, because we certainly need family-oriented role models in this day and age.
Yes,
awesome.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, right here on Blog Talk Radio, but heard all across the World Wide Web. And I am interviewing Grammy Award-winning producer Stephen Ford. Remember, if you missed any portion of the interview, you can go back into the archives and listen to the full interview later on. All right, so Mr. Ford, tell me, how did you transition to writing your book? How was that transition? Can I take your order, the Levitical order?
Well, I started writing, first like songwriting and orchestration and that part of writing. And when you become a writer, it's something that it evolves. So if you just keep on putting pencil to paper, eventually you'll start jotting down ideas. And so I started writing, and part of it by doing seminars and teaching and preaching. I call it treaching, because it's more teaching than preaching. I've had people tend to listen when you're really saying something. And I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to talk about the people that hoop. That's all I mean, if that's what you do.
Right.
But, I want to make sure that at the end of the day, what I've said has really sunk in. And
right.
It hasn't become just an emotional reaction. But, you know, taking, looking at my notes and putting that all together, I just sat down one day and started writing. And the book itself, it's parallel with if you walk into a restaurant and a waiter comes up to you and say, can I take your order?
Okay.
And I envision it as God coming to you and or you going to him and saying, can I take your order?
Mm.
As the waiter, you have your pad and you have your menu. And
right.
Ready, and then he gives you the instructions as far as what he's ordering. You know, what meal would you serve him? And so it's, you know, just sitting down and writing that from that standpoint.
Okay.
But the book itself is about the order of the Levite, what the gifted one is called upon to do. And not only can I take the orders that God gives me,
mm-hmm.
but how well do I keep my life in order? How well do
wow.
I keep the things that I need to present for him? How do I do that? Because, you know, even and it goes from the fact of organization and
mm-hmm.
All the things in my life. I mean, if there's no order, it's chaos. And,
right.
You know, chaos and order cannot coexist. You know, it has to be one or the other.
All right. That sums it up. Ladies and gentlemen, you can definitely go to Mr. Ford's website to get more information on the book and purchase the book, and that's www.sfordmusic.com. Again, that's www.sfordmusic.com. Can I take your order, the Levitical order? All right. So you got to tell us about your music symposium. You had one in 2008. You've got one coming up in 2009. What drove you to put that together?
Yeah, that is really my passion right now. I have been asked for a long time to do a workshop, and we decided, actually my wife and I decided to put one up at the University of Delaware.
Yeah.
And we did one last March. That was our first one.
Okay.
And just phenomenal. We were able to give away several musical instruments for people who came. We were able to give away a full scholarship.
Wow.
A young man is actually the recipient of it, and he's going to start in the fall of 2009. And that was a joy for us.
Yes, that is awesome.
We had instructors that came in. I was able to call my Covenant brothers and my friends. That came from all walks of life. I had Dr. Panion, who is the dean at the University of Birmingham.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Bond.
Yes.
And of course, you've heard of him. He's
yes.
done several projects. And Kevin and I go way back, so it was just a joy for us to reunite and kind of stand shoulder to shoulder to teach and empower. Aaron Lindsay. Who
yes.
Has just done the Smash project, Never Could Have Made It, that's Aaron
yes.
Lindsay with Israel and with Marvin Sapp. And then my Covenant brothers, Jonathan DeVos and Jeff Davis and Mark Walker and Tony Walker, Kenneth Shelton. Those are musicians and brothers of mine who has been with me throughout the years. And so we all came together and I covered subjects, just not music. We did music, and then, of course, we did composition and theory and orchestration. But then we did business finance and how
okay.
to run a company, how to produce, how to we had video classes,
wow.
Pre and post video. Digital recording, mastering, Pro Tools, worship, how to be a worship leader. I had a segment when pastors worship, and
oh,
I believe
wow.
every pastor should be a worship leader. Now, that's,
yeah.
that's a whole thing by itself.
Right. Words,
if you want a worshiping church, the leader has to be a worshiper.
Right.
You know? So we had classes for that. Then I had master classes, like master piano classes, master organ classes, master bass classes, drum, you know. So we covered the aspects of music as well as ministry. And it was just phenomenal, just phenomenal.
What a balance, not just a conference, but, you know, I love that you specifically, I'm sure, and intentionally use the word symposium.
Yes, and the university, God gave us favor there, and I wanted to have a university setting. Actually,
mm-hmm.
within 2 days, we had about, well, we had 20 subjects, 20 classes, and just phenomenal. And we're planning for the next one, and that'll be in April 2nd through the 4th.
Yeah.
2009 at the University of Delaware. And this will be at Clayton Hall. And if you can go, if they go to my website,
yes.
visit my website, it'll give you all the details. But I will tell you, don't miss it. This one, the difference in the next one that we're putting up is
uh-huh.
going to be what we call the closed symposium, which
okay.
means you can only get in if you're registered.
Oh.
And the reason I'm doing it that way, the last one we had, the evening sessions, they were open to the public. So people
okay.
would come to the classes, then people would come in the evening. But because of the response that we received from the last one, I mean, we have people that came from the Bahamas. We now
wow.
have people coming from London. We have people coming from Hawaii, California, all over. And so with the space being limited, it's
right.
not that the university is absolutely gorgeous, but when I say space being limited, we wanted to keep it at a certain number that we would be able to touch everybody.
Yes.
Adequately serve them, not only inspiration, but education, shoulder to shoulder, sit down with them, talk with them, deal with problems, give them, you know, real answers and real solutions,
yeah.
as well as our last conference, no one left without something in their hand. You know, so we had a pastor that came that we gave him a sound system, a wireless sound system
for
his church. We redid a church's drum, their drum set. I think we gave away a drum set. We gave away like about 4 keyboards.
My goodness.
And it might have been more than that. As a matter of fact, everybody that left had something.
Something.
But we surprised, you know, many people, we just surprised them with, like, unbelievable gifts. And I believe that the gift is not a gift unless you understand what giving means.
Right.
So it's giving back.
Oh, right. Ladies and gentlemen, again, that's the 2009 Music Symposium host, Mr. Stephen Ford. That is April 2nd through April 4th, 2009. They do have an early bird registration until December 15th, so you've got just about under a month for that. And the location is the University of Delaware at the Clayton Hall Conference Center in Newark, Delaware. Go to www.sfordmusic.com to find out more information. All right, so Mr. Ford, as we wrap up this interview, and we thank you so much for all of your time. Anything that you would, any ending advice you would give for aspiring artists?
I always would like to empower them by letting them know to keep God first.
Mm-hmm.
God gives the gift of music, and the gift of music is actually a love gift, which means it's the expression, it's the love expression of God. In heaven, whenever there was music, it was God's embrace. And when you heard the music that comes from heaven, it's an illustration of how God shows his admiration and his love. Even the Bible says in Revelation, I heard a voice speaking out of the throne, and he was speaking to himself. And so when the gift of music is given as love. And I always try to encourage those that have the gift of music or that's striving to be better musicians or singers, make sure that you show the love of Christ in everything you do.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. You heard it here live from Mr. Stephen Ford. Again, thank you so much, Mr. Ford, for your time, and we look forward to more great things coming from you as well.
Thank you. Thank
All
you.
Right.
Take
thank
care.
You
for, having us.
All right, you are quite welcome. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up another edition of the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We are so glad that you tuned in and joined us. Remember, visit us next Tuesday, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we will bring you more phenomenal guests and more phenomenal interviews. Visit our official website at www.charvettemitchell.com. mitchell-productions.com and join our e-blast list. If you missed any portion of this interview, no problem. Go back in the archives and you can listen to the full interview. You know what? Share the link with a friend. I've enjoyed having you today. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed week. Peace.